morning to all of you.
Brother, assemblies as ours and perhaps other churches that you have been to over the years of your life, we are probably known well by the fundamental teaching of God's word. Especially the very foundational truth and fundamentals that we do not compromise and we do teach and preach without fear. And that is one of the things that are very well known among the assemblies of this hour, as ours. But from my personal experience over my lifetime, there are some important truths that are essential for our Christian living, everyday life, has been perhaps unintentionally has been ignored to some extent in our midst. I grew up from childhood on in assembly like this, but I never heard, at least when I was there, the subject of local assembly teaching subjects like elders, deacons, and shepherds in the church. We had elders, very godly men, but the subject was never taught. How it is, who is supposed to be. And I had no idea as an young boy growing up. And so, sometimes, perhaps a visiting speaker may come by and just touch and go here and there on that subject. But I never heard, ever, at least in my life, when I was in my home assembly back where I grew up many years ago, never taught a subject called giving. Subject of Christian giving. What does it say in the scripture? Is it really taught? But perhaps that may have changed now, I do not know, but I have very seldom hear about such subject being brought up. And as we know, we live in a world where denominations outside of the assemblies and money-hungry preachers have taken this subject of giving, taking the money, give me, give, 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 I give you 100, the Lord will give you 1,000 kind of approach. And that has really brought shame to the Christianity in general, but the truth of God's word. Because of that extreme approach of certain groups, we have gone to the other extreme and won't even talk about it, just because of the fear of one extreme. Some years ago, I asked one of the well-known Bible teachers among us, I asked him this question, why are you teachers and preachers? Well, you have the opportunity to go around in various places, conferences and churches, why don't you speak on this subject? He's with the Lord now, so you cannot verify this. And he answered and said, I wish this teaching was done in every local assembly. But if we as preachers, if we try to teach on the subject, the public, the general public, the believers will interpret it as us preachers ask for money. And I told him at that time, this is a lame excuse. This is a biblical truth. Irrespective of what the audience think, we must teach. But we need to be faithful to God's word. Last week, Brother Babu emphasized that from this pulpit. We have to be faithful to God's word. I am not even suggesting none of you are givers, and not by intention. But do you know why you are giving? Do you know why, how much you are giving? Do you know why you are not giving? You should have a biblical foundation for giving or not giving, or somewhere in between. My experience from the assemblies, from the people of God, interacting with, talking and teaching over the years of my life, I have come across three groups of people among believers. Perhaps that is true right here in this audience. There are believers who will give above and beyond what the scripture requires. Even they have come to know. And there is another group of people, they will just barely meet that biblical need. And there is another group, won't even come close. That is true in any assembly that I have talked about this in some other assemblies and talked to the elders, they felt the same way. So this morning, I'm going to start a two series, which will be today and next Sunday, on the subject of giving. I'm not going to ask you for money, that is not my intention, but if you give me, I will take it and pass it on. We did, some time back, we did a study on attributes of God, what that has to do with giving. The attributes of God, it touched very, I don't remember who it was, maybe it was Sam. We studied the attributes of God, and one of the attribute or the character of God that you and I saw at the time is the character of giving. There are many attributes of God. I want to, for the purpose of our study, I'm going to split that character attributes into two groups. God's attributes. One is, the one group is, there are certain attributes of God that He will not impart with the human being. Like, God is divine. That the divinity of God, He is not going to share with us. His fullness of His holiness, we will not come, at least while we are on this earth, we will not come. The eternal existence of God, we are not eternal. We have a beginning. We will have an eternity in the future, but we don't have an eternity at this moment. We have a beginning. There are other attributes of God that God is not going to share with us. His glory will not be shared. But the second part of the God's attributes, which I call His character, is the character which that was instilled to human being at the day of creation. When God breathed the life into Adam and Eve, God also instilled some characters into a human being. This is very evident throughout life. Whether believer or unbeliever, God-fearing or people who do not fear God, they all have a character, certain characters that was given to them by way of God being their creator. Love. Everybody has love. But there is a love that you and I understand from the biblical principle through the Lord that is different. But any human being, even the worst person you can think, that person also have some amount of love in his heart until the evil takes over that love character. So one of those characters that was instilled into human being at the creation is the character of giving. You and I know from our experience and history, human being from creation on, down through the centuries, even the 21st century, men and women in this world have a tendency to give and give and give, because it came from God who gave them life. We will go to the slides for the few moments that is left before us. We will not finish the subject today, Lord willing. We will look at the New Testament in a more detailed study for next time when we come. If this thing works. Okay, it is on now. I'm sorry, it's my fault. Okay, we'll do an introductory look at certain things from the scriptures. Scriptural evidence, that is where I want to lay the foundation. I don't want to preach to you today my opinion or anybody's opinion or what I heard or what I've seen. I want to bring you right to the scriptures. God's character of giving. And you and I will appreciate, you know this very well, which we already remembered this morning, is the pivotal point of God's giving character was revealed 2000 years ago at the cross of Calvary. John 3:16, that we all know, or we should know, by heart from our memory. I will not be telling a lot of explanations on these statements here, but you can very clearly understand. Man was created with this character when he was created as we saw. Human history has revealed it throughout all ages, every age, that irrespective of their religious conviction, man has a heart and a character built in of giving. There are good givers, listen to this, I know of, there are good givers who are non-Christians, especially in the Western Hemisphere. But 35 years ago when we moved to Dallas area, we heard at that time, this is 35 years ago, a man just wrote a $25 million and gave it to a hospital. As far as I know, at least at that time, he was not a Christian. So the giving character is in the heart of every human being, and it is in you and it is in me. That is not my point, but we will go to the biblical part of the scripture. Now, giving is older than the law itself. There are people sometimes think when Moses gave the law, that is when giving or the tithes, as you say, was given. No, giving was older than the law itself. At the patriarchal age in Genesis 14 and verse 17, and as we know this story very well, but let me quickly read that. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of, let me pronounce this once, Chedorlaomer, and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." This is the interaction between Abraham and Melchizedek. And then the next statement says, he gave him tithe of all. A-L-L. He gave him tithe of all. Who told him to give tithe? The teaching was given to man even before the days of Moses. So giving is then, it was practiced before the law, but it was also enforced at the time of the law was given in Leviticus 27 verse 30. Leviticus 27 and verse 30 we read, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, it is holy to the Lord." Remember the word there is, it is to be given to the Lord. No, it is not to be given to the Lord, it is the Lord's. It belongs to him. He owns it. And that is what it says here. Giving, then the Lord himself also, while he was on this earth, the Lord approved the tithe. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe." Well, God, Lord was commending them for giving tithe of mint and anise and the cumin, "and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." Meaning, he was commending them for giving the tithe, but at the same time, they were totally forgetting about all other things. There are Christians I know who are very godly people. We have been studying the book of Proverbs. You and I should be different people because we study the book of Proverbs. The tremendous practical application of every single chapters we looked at last 24 weeks, and there are a few more to go. You and I can be as godly as possible and forget the tithes or giving. I will come and explain to you what commandment for giving. Is it tithe? Is it no tithe? That is the argument people who have in these days. I have heard people argue on that. So the tithing at least here in this passage, Lord approved it. And we also see when we read through the book of Acts, giving was practiced by early Christians and taught by the apostles. We'll come to that, Lord willing, next week, a little more in detail about the teachings of the apostles, what they wrote. Now, what is the biblical pattern in different ages? Abraham gave tithes. Giving was enforced by the law. Taught and corrected by prophets. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. I want you to pay very close attention to this verse. You have either heard or read it before. Will a man rob God? The answer is in the same verse. Yes. You have robbed me, yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what we have robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation, says the Lord, through the prophet. I looked into the dictionary. My understanding of English may be poor in here, but at least on the word robbing and stealing are two different things. Do you know what robbing and difference between robbing and stealing? Robbing is when you are looking at it, somebody come and take away from in front of you something that belongs to you. 45 years ago, when I came to this country, I bought a new car. We were in Detroit, Michigan. And we were living in a place where it was stealing was very common. And we lived on the third or fourth floor of an apartment. Brand new car in the parking lot. All excited about it. I heard some noise in the night. So I came to my window and I'm looking down. There's one guy breaking my trunk. In those days, tires and the wheels were somehow valuable. He broke into my trunk with something, opened it, took the tires, and I made a noise. He looked at me and gave me a laugh, and he walked away. What was he doing? He was robbing me while I am looking. I saw what he is doing. He could not hide it from me. That is the word I understand, robbing. But stealing is, you are asleep. 3 a.m. in the morning, somebody come to your garage somehow, take your car and go away. That is stealing. So the difference between the word stealing and robbing is different. I am glad the prophet used the word robbing, because you are stealing or robbing God right in front of his eyes. That's what he says here. In tithes and offerings. And then he makes it a little difficult with the next statement. You are cursed, the curse, for you have robbed me. Now remember, this is Lord talking in first person in the dictionary. Even this whole nation. So the prophet has made it very important about the giving and about the tithe in this instance. We'll go further look at some more passages. What happened in the tabernacle age? Apart from the tithe, listen carefully, there are three methods of giving was practiced and taught in the Old Testament. The tithe, I won't even call it giving, because it belongs to the Lord. If you don't give, you are robbing him. But where do you give? Free will offering above and over tithe. Exodus 35, 4 and 49. Free will offering were given to the Lord by people, and that is where you begin giving. When you pass the 10%, when you reach to the 11 and the 12, you can say, I gave 1% to the Lord. Until then, you have not started giving. The free will offering begins above and above the tithe. In First Chronicle, it's the same statement. I'm not taking time to read all that. You can take notes and look at it later. Whoever is of a willing heart, verse 5 in that second passage, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, sweet incense, onyx stones, and the list is a long list of things there. That is when these people of Israel giving to the Lord free will, meaning it is not 10, it is not 20% of all they have, it is the free will offering over and above the tithe. This is what the Israelites did. It was done with a willing heart. And if you read that passage, people were rejoicing for the opportunity that they can give. They were so happy that I am able to give to the Lord. Not the tithe I'm talking. Now I'm talking about the free will offering. They rejoiced when they gave it to the Lord. All these precious stones and gold and silver and the things that they owned in their life. When they gave it to the Lord, they murmured. No, they rejoiced. I have come across Christians, not many, but at least, who murmurs when it comes to giving. Please don't give. The Lord is not a poor man, as you think. If you give, do it rejoicingly. We will come to that in the New Testament study next week. Now, then there is a third one. So far, tithe belongs to the Lord. If you not give it, you are robbing him. Underline it. Take it from my word. And then there was free will offering that was given to the Lord at the various times. This in verse Exodus 30 and verse 13. This is what everyone among those who are numbered, meaning a people of adulthood, they were numbered, and every one of them shall give half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. What is the purpose? Now, everyone in Israel, above the tithe, above the free will offering, and the third part of giving was half a shekel, every one of them has to give. What is it for? The rich shall not give more, or the poor shall not give less. Everyone equal taxation, generally known as the poll tax, among the Israel across the whole people. So far we have seen three categories of giving. And the poll tax was basically used for maintenance of God's temple at the time. These two, the first one is tithe, second one is free will offering, third one is the poll tax for maintenance of the temple. Someone has calculated, this may be a little bit off here and there, someone calculated the people of Israel put together of these three categories of giving, they were giving 35% of their income. You can complain once you give 36%. I was talking to, I get emotional when I say this. I was talking to somebody who gave last year 45% of his income. Beloved, we have no excuse for saying, oh, there is no commandment in the New Testament for tithe. I agree with you. There is no direct commandment in the New Testament that everyone should give tithe. You don't have to give because it already belongs to him. When it comes to the Mosaic time, during the law was given in Numbers 35, God commanded Moses that the 11 tribes, when the land was being distributed, when they came to their promised land, the 11 tribes are supposed to give 48 cities to the and their suburbs to the Levites. The prime land was supposed to be given to the Levites. Moses could have said, just divide equally for the 12 tribes and be done with it. But the 11 tribes were given an opportunity to give 48 cities and the suburbs that belongs to it to the Levites, because they are the servants. They are the serving community in Israel. So that's another giving if you want to add to the fourth category there. From the larger tribe you shall give many. From the smaller tribe you shall give few. Each shall give some of its cities to the Levites in proportion to the inheritance that each receives. In proportion to your inheritance, each shall give. You will see this principle when we come to the New Testament also. Each shall give in proportion to the inheritance that you receive. Now, we already looked at this one. I will not repeat it again. The Lord Jesus Christ himself in person approved the giving. I am particularly taking this lesson instead of an adult Sunday school. I want young people who are listening to me, those who are beginning your life. Maybe you are a young man, in college, you may not have an income to give. But I want you to be rooted in this giving, to understand this. And if you are a young man who is working and making money, I want you to understand what God's word teaches. That is why we thought we will do this with the permission of elders. Do this on a Sunday morning here instead of adult Sunday school, because adults, it's hard to change them. I'm aiming at the younger one who may change in the days to come. Early Christians, let's look at a few things, maybe give you an idea of what did the early Christians do. Giving was practiced by the early Christians. I have absolutely no question on that. If you don't, if you pay very close attention when you read the book of Acts, very little is mentioned in the book of Acts about finances or giving or the words of such nature. But throughout the book, we see a fundamental principle of believers taking care of one another by giving. Read it. People were traveling everywhere. They went to places, new cities, new churches. They were taken care of by God's people. Throughout the book of Acts, the apostles and other Christians traveled across that region, and they never lacked anything. When there was no believers, no Christians to give, Paul worked hard with his own hand to support himself and others. It is obvious their needs were met wherever they went. Giving was practiced by the early Christians. We see the barbarians in Malta. These are not Christians, as we know, at least. They showed kindness to Paul and others. A revelation of the character of giving is seen there. Unknown barbarians, Paul and others who had the shipwreck, and they came to the shore, and the barbarians of Malta showed kindness to them. When was the last time you have shown kindness to anyone? Then there was a famine in Judea. We read in Acts chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. There was a famine in Judea. Believers sent relief by the hands of Paul and Barnabas. A perfect example of suffering Christians. Are there suffering Christians who are in need today? You better believe it. We were taking a collection this last 2 weeks ago for the suffering Christians of Ukraine. Last year we collected such offerings for COVID relief across the land of India and some other places also. The suffering Christians were taken care of by the first century Christians when there was a famine. So I'm quoting, giving you examples what the New Testament first century Christians did. In essence, giving was an integral part of the lifestyle of the people in the first century. There was no need for teaching. It was in their bloodstream about giving. We read Acts chapter 2, I think it is here somewhere. Jesus fulfilled the legal requirement of paying taxes. He paid what is due. He accepted hospitality wherever he went. He went to several homes, as we read. Mary and Martha's home was one of them. Lord often went to. Zacchaeus invited him to home. There are other places the Lord Jesus accepted hospitality. The Lord Jesus sent out one time 12 disciples, another time 70 disciples. And what did the Lord tell them? Don't worry about your need. Was the Lord being careless about his people? No, he knew that their need will be taken care of wherever they go. And they did. If you read the history. So these are the very fundamentals of the biblical teaching in the Old Testament, which the Lord approved in the New Testament, as we saw earlier. But I want you to go home with one understanding tonight, which this morning we will look at the detailed explanation of giving, Lord willing, next Sunday. The tithe is not a commandment, a direct commandment in the New Testament, I agree with you. But that is no excuse for you and me to take away and rob God. If you are, I don't know who you are, I don't know how much you give, I have no idea. In some cases I know, because I looked at sometimes the assembly accounts. But you alone know before God, if you are robbing God today, please stop. And get rid of the curse that is supporting you if you are not giving the tithe. I'm not saying bring the tithe to the church. No. Well, if you want to give it to the church, that is well and fine. But if you want to give to the church or give it to the Lord's work, give it to the missionaries, give it to the suffering people, wherever you can give, believers, please stop robbing God. You know what that means? If you get a $2,000 check in your mail, from your work, the tithe means $200 belongs to the Lord. That belongs to the Lord. You don't have to give. If you don't give, you are robbing Him. I want to emphasize that one teaching this morning, and we'll come to the New Testament part of it, Lord willing, next time. And I'm giving you 5 minutes back, and I will take it another time. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you this morning. What a joy, what an opportunity. You have given everything to us. We were reminded of it this morning. You sent His only begotten Son to this world to love us, to redeem us, wretched sinners like us. How often we have held back from you, especially the things that belongs to you. Father, we pray that may speak to my heart and each one of ours. Pray that our hearts may be exercised to honor the Lord in everything that we have. Not simply the money, but our time and our effort, our abilities. All this is a gift from you. We pray that you may grant us grace from above. We give you thanks for the eternal, unchanging word of God that is given in our hands. Take all the glory to yourself. Bless your people. We give you thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.